The following is an Auburn Network production. Live from Auburn, the sports capital of Alabama, this is The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron on ESPN 106.7. And online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome in, everybody. It is the Monday edition of The Drive. First day of fall semester.
Feels just
it
like
is
it.
The hottest day of the year.
Wow.
Thus far.
Great.
It was my house, the thermometer at my house in the shade was registering 98 about a half an hour ago.
I actually got a little sweat on my forehead walking from my air conditioned car to the air conditioned studio, which is about 20 steps, maybe 25 steps.
Yeah. It is brutal outside. And my temperature was rising even more. I made it.
You had a good drive on the drive to get to the drive?
Yeah, it was a drive. Look, it's the first day of class, and maybe there are a lot of people that know. These people know what they're doing. Coming up Dean Road. All right, I stopped and got a drink because there's a special today. But I had plenty of time. I pulled out a Sonic at 3:45, and went and got through the light right there. And then, look, there are always people that don't realize that the left lane is left turn only.
Right.
But there are always plenty of people who do realize that and just don't want to wait.
Right.
I had to be somewhere. I had to be here. And there were three cars ahead of me, including the car directly ahead of me, that kept letting cars in. Mm. Yeah. And after the third red light, as I'm looking ahead, I'm still far away from the railroad tracks and from the light. After the third light, I, not terribly lightly, tapped on the horn like, go, quit letting these people in. And then another car came up, and we were at the railroad track, so this car ahead of me couldn't let them in. And a car came flying up on the left side and signaled. And it's like, no, I wasn't letting them in. I shook my head, no. And he laid on his horn.
Oh, boy.
And I about got out then. But what made it worse is we finally made it through the light, and the car ahead of me then slowed down didn't go over 15. Like, I'm not going to let you get there. And it's like, you. Welcome back, everybody. It's great. It is. I've said this for years. I wish they would at least put those reflector things like you've got on Glenn, you know, there in front of the Standard.
Yeah.
You know, they just put something like that. If you're going to have left lane be left turn only, make it tough.
Right.
You don't have to put up the tall reflectors, although that'd be sort of fun.
Yeah.
To put those up.
Well, you know, you can turn left and there's
you can turn left and go back in and around. You can turn left and turn around or go back in behind places and come out.
Right. And sometimes that's quicker than waiting in that long line on the right hand.
It is. And I've done that. But don't think you're going to jump like 10, 15 cars and then cut in and everything's going to be fine.
Yeah.
Anyway, so how was your weekend, Brian?
It was good. Nothing going on this weekend. You know, they had their scrimmage on Friday.
Yeah.
And I think
it was nice to give us a weekend off.
Once on the weekend, but it was close.
Yeah, yesterday, I believe.
Yeah. So, it was a good weekend. Just did some work, helped my daughter move. She stayed with us for a few weeks while in between apartments, and now she's back in an apartment. So that was not fun because that was pretty hot. Pretty hot day.
Oh, yes.
And of course, she's not on the bottom floor. She's up top. So that's.
Oh, man. Yeah. No, that's great.
That's fun.
Listen, where is she in? She's not here, is she?
Not in school at Auburn at the moment. No,
but I mean, she's here locally.
Yes.
Oh, okay. Friday was crazy. Friday was like Thursday and Friday were move-in days for everybody.
Yeah.
Scott and his bunch are moved out.
Wow.
Because they finally look. They've had a terrible problem. I mean, they had a leak in their plumbing underneath the slab of their house.
That's tough.
So, I mean, they had to get the floor torn up, couldn't really be staying there, and Their insurance, I mean, it turned out they're really good, but they don't understand Auburn. They're like, well, find a short-term lease. Find a short-term lease before classes get started.
Yeah, good luck.
There's no such thing, because everybody understandably wants to have their place leased for the year. So once August 1st passed, they were able to find a place. They've got a place not too far from us that they're able to stay in now while their house gets worked on. So that got done. Other than that, just didn't do a whole lot. I am extremely thankful. I know sometimes it's a bother, and my wife will complain about it sometimes, just the work of having a pool. But having a pool, if you're going to have to do yard work, let me tell you, there's no way I could get my yard work done if I didn't have a pool, because it's like start feeling really bad, just go fall in the pool
for a little while, then
get that done. So yeah, so it was a pretty good weekend, as you said, scrimmage on Friday. We talked with Alex Golish following the scrimmage. That was not the I've talked to some people since then, and they're like, man, he seemed really upset. And I was he's nowhere near as upset as we've seen a lot of coaches after what I felt like they thought were bad performances. Look, he wasn't happy that it was sloppy. There were some pre-snap penalties. The tackling wasn't what he wanted, but he still didn't seem he didn't seem terribly upset or down. After the scrimmage, just they got work that has to be done.
Yeah, I've been a part or covered a lot of first scrimmages in fall camp, and I've never had one turn out to be great. I mean, there's no way, even if it was really good, that a coach is going to come out and say it's good, because he wants to continue to push his team through camp to get better. So that's the last thing that's going to happen. But I think most first scrimmages, you're going to have the mistakes, you're going to have the penalties, you're going to have the turnovers, those type of things that just come with it. The tackling is almost always an issue early in camp for the first scrimmage. It's just all a part of football.
First scrimmage, it's the first time they're really out there, and all right, this is it. It's for real. We're going to be playing here in a couple of weeks, and here we go. We've been practicing, but you haven't gone 11-on-11 for that extended a period of time. So things are going to happen, but I felt the good news. I mean, it sounded like Byron Brown had a good day.
It did.
The best news, I think, is thus far, and again, fingers crossed, Auburn's not had any serious injuries.
Right. Other than Devin Williams being out the entire camp with a off-season injury, not camp injury, there's been no other major injuries. Been guys dinged up. Some guys missed out on the scrimmage, but Golish said they're fine. They'll be back this week, or they already came back this weekend. I don't know, but Stanton Ramil, who was coming back from injury, was able to
scrimmage,
which is big, real big for him and for this team. So, I think Auburn's been very fortunate so far, and this is a team, when I look at it, needs to have a little injury luck to have as good a season as they can have.
Yeah, I mean, now I will say, and I'd love your thoughts on this, that I feel like even though Auburn may not be as talented at the very top of the roster as they were last year, or maybe have been for a couple of years, I still feel like this is a deeper team than we've seen the last few years. Now, look, they can't afford to lose Byron Brown. There are a few guys that would be really, really difficult to replace. But I think at a lot of positions, they can afford to have somebody hopefully not be out for the year. But if somebody gets hurt, they've done a really good job of assembling a roster that has enough competition with guys that I think can play at this level.
I was worried about the depth on the defensive line, to be honest with you, going in, because I know how many guys Vontrell likes to play. I know how important that position is to be good in November. Mm-hmm. You got to play players. You got to keep players healthy. But I think guys like Jordan Crawford, Buddy Mathis, Darion Smith, Tavian Branch, Malik Autry, St. Ferrier, I think they've got depth now there behind the starting two. So that's really big, I think. Tight end, very deep. I'm one of the deepest positions on the team, safety deep. offensive line is deep with numbers. Still trying to figure out the starting five and who the next two or three are.
I think we got a pretty good idea who the top seven or eight are.
Yeah, and we may know the starting five. We may very well know.
I think right now left guard is probably the biggest question.
Right, and Derek Plies is a possibility there, I guess.
And Jacob Strand.
Jacob Strand and. It sounds more like Cole Simmons Skinner is going to wrap up a starting job there, which great for him. Guy's worked his tail off. I liked talking to Coach Hetty, the offensive line coach, just talked to us about how both Coles kind of came with a little bit of a mean streak, mm-hmm. and I think you got to have that to play in this conference. So that's good to hear from him about those two.
Yeah. So I mean. Obviously, running backs deep. I think now receivers want to see how they perform. I mean, I think they've got a half dozen guys that they can put out there, and I think they feel really good about the top four. I would think with Chaz Nimrod and Keyshawn Singleton and Jeremiah Coger and Deshaun Spencer. We'll see. I mean. They'd like to have a little more there, but you're right. Secondary is deep. Not as much experience at corner. That's an area
that's
where
that's a big question mark.
Yeah, where so. I mean, they need Andre Jordan, Rayshon Pleasant to stay healthy and have guys like Blake Woodby, Gavin Jenkins be able to play because you can't get by. You're not going to be able to get through a whole season with just two cornerbacks.
Yeah, and I do think some depth is stepping up there. I mean, Gavin Jenkins, who you mentioned, I think is a guy who's having a really good fall camp. He had an interception in the scrimmage. Shamar No had an interception in the scrimmage. He was a little banged up, but he's come back now and is able to compete more. Mm-hmm. So you got Rayshon Pleasant. You got Andre Jordan. He's probably been the best guy there. And I think they're getting some guys behind them now stepping up and competing too.
Yeah, so interesting that they're going to turn around and have another scrimmage Wednesday.
Yep, and I think
I mean, I was asked that. Yeah, Doug asked me that earlier. It's like, man, he didn't recall ever hearing of teams turning around and have two scrimmages within 5 days.
Well, and I've never heard of anybody having a simulated game week and then a game week, right? That's the first time I've heard that. Maybe they've done it. I just didn't hear about it. But I think this week, that scrimmage and maybe a practice or two after it, but really that scrimmage is going to be the final opportunity to settle some of these starting positions, mm-hmm. some of these depth charts, get things settled. They've got to get that starting offensive line settled and working together. Most of those guys, other than Cole Best and Cole Skinner, have never worked together other than, they're all transfers. All five are going to be transfers. So as many snaps as they can get together, working together, communicating, will be really, really important for this offense.
Yeah, I think that's a great point. I mean, that way, if they can do that and firm that up after Wednesday, they'll have a couple of weeks. They'll have a little over 2 weeks to just be working with those guys and trying to make sure they've got all their, the communication is down. We haven't really gotten to see it, but it sounds like they've been pretty pleased with both sides of the line of scrimmage, which I think folks coming into the fall were probably as concerned about each of those sides because of the inexperience on the defensive side and because of the lack of production that we've had on the offensive line for years.
Yeah, we didn't know how good Cody Sickler was going to be, and he hasn't played an SEC snap yet, but he sure has been really, really good, here at Auburn since he arrived in January. Mm-hmm. And the way he's competing out there against that offensive line tells me he's going to be pretty good when we get up there in the fall, too. And, I think, several guys there have stepped up. Jared Smith, definitely one of the stars of camp so far, a guy they need to keep healthy and get out there because he can certainly impact a game from the edge.
Yeah, and that's something that it sounds like, I mean, when Alex Golish was talking Saturday – sounded like he was pretty pleased with the defensive line, especially the rush. And so, I mean, that's good. That's good news because, I mean, there are a lot of young guys that you felt like had some ability or, players that had shown some flashes in the past. But, I mean, if Deshaun Womack and, Jaquez Wilkes or, some other guys can help along with Jared Smith, Joe Phillips, Chris Murray. I mean, there are a few guys – that Auburn needs to step up, and if they can, if they can do that, then I feel really good about the defense.
Yeah.
Because I mean, I think linebackers. I don't know if you're going to find a better linebacker room anywhere than what Auburn has, And the safety position, I think, is stacked.
It is.
With talent.
And the way he talks about that position, they're going to use some guys like new boy Fagans.
And when we're talking about corners, Champ's a guy.
Champ Anthony's
a guy
certainly.
That may end up being a corner.
Different places. You know, Sly Smith-Reed obviously can play some different positions too. So they got a lot of versatility in that group, and I think we're going to see all those guys play important parts on this defense. And he did mention the edges, but all he said was something like, "I really like watching those guys out there."
That's true.
Yeah. He didn't go into specifics, but that just tells me a lot that he would say something like that, right?
When he offers something up on his own, it's something that has caught his eye.
Yep, it has. So that's good to know.
334-321-1390. That's the Drive Hotline, sponsored by Skybar. Love for you to join in. Anything on your mind, sports-wise. Preseason AP Top 25 is out. We'll take a look at that as well. It's Monday, so that means coming up in hour number two, we'll have Brian's Monday Musings. But we'd love for you to join in. Anything you want to talk about here on the Monday edition of The Drive.
Let's get back to The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron on ESPN 106.7. And online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email thedrive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into the Monday Drive. Bill, Brian Matthews from AuburnSports.com. We got Brandon, so it's all B's today.
I love it.
Bill, B's. Brian, and Brandon here as Drew has something that he's having to take care of. He's going to be out, I believe, most Mondays. Got something on campus that he has to do until after 6 o'clock. So Brandon is in today, and our phone lines are open, and we've already got a caller at 334-321-1390. That's the Drive Hotline, sponsored by Skybar. Let's get to it. And James is up first. Hey, James.
Hey, guys, how you doing today?
Doing fine.
Hey, I heard this last night on a podcast, and I just got a glimpse of it. They were talking about in the future, and I'm not sure how far in the future this is going to be. They anticipated that because of the playoff, the teams are going to be expanded, that you might have more kind of like kickoff-type games, like it would happen in the beginning of the season, and that'd be kind of like the bowl games. Have you heard any talk about that?
Yeah, there's been some talk of that. Yeah. Go ahead.
Well, you know, the one thing those games offer is when they're a neutral site, you can usually work out a some type of NIL deal to get your players more money for your roster, which is big. And I think schools will be more in tune to wanting to do that if they know that a loss in one of those games is not going to kill their season. They'll still have a chance to get to the playoffs if they're expanded. So I think both things kind of go hand in hand.
Right. And the one thing that I thought about that this was not mentioned, you look at it now. When you go to bowl games, what happens? A lot of your key players
opt out.
Mm-hmm. And now if you move it, if you bring it to the forefront in the beginning, you – probably 99% of the time, you're not going to have that. And anyway, I was just curious if you think that's the way it's going to start, the future of college football is going to be with the expansion of the playoff.
You know, James, that brings up, as you're saying that, I think it would be great. It's not going to happen, but I think it would be great if you could move bowl games – just move bowl games to the preseason and just have playoffs be the postseason.
Yeah.
I mean, because
I
know that the reason they're all there and will continue to be there is because there are two reasons. ESPN wants the inventory and they can sell advertising and gambling. Yep. I mean, it's tremendous. If you were able to have those at the beginning, you're right. I mean, players would all be playing in them. And I think there'd be a whole lot more interest. I think fan bases would be much more liable to travel to someplace to a game like that, to something like that, to a preseason bowl game or something like that, and then think, maybe we're going to be good enough to be playing in the playoffs at the end of the year.
Yeah, I think
that's right.
Yeah. Go ahead.
What I was going to say you know, Bill touched on it. People are excited. It's the beginning of college football. And that's, I mean, everybody's just dying for it to start. And so that's what I'm saying. I think the sponsors and the hosts of these games, they're going to sell out because people are going to, they want a taste of it. They want to see it. They want to go to it. And I think, you know, fan participation will be at a fever pitch. But you think about it as it goes on through the season, teams that are having a 6-6 record, 7-5 record, maybe some of the fans decide, hey, man, I've been to the home games. You know, we didn't have, you know, we got a bowl eligible, but I'm not going to spend the money to go to wherever. We'll spend it. We'll spend the holidays at home. They may not. They may not want to go.
No, you're right. So you're absolutely right. I mean, you look at the attendance. The TV numbers aren't that bad, but the attendance numbers at a lot of the bowl games is just it's awful.
Yeah.
Exactly. Anyway, this food for thought. I was just going to get your take on it, but I appreciate your time.
Oh, absolutely, James. Appreciate the call. That's some very good
Thank
points
you, man.
There.
Yeah, and you know, the other point there is if you look at the inventory for those week zero, week one, there's really not a whole lot of good games, right?
No.
And when you talk about the anticipation, the excitement for college football, let's have some more games to bang this, you know, to get this thing started, right?
Let's go ahead. I mean, look, if we're gonna have OTAs and things like that, let's go ahead and start the season. I mean, I know it sounds crazy, but I mean, especially if you could do it at places at neutral sites, things like that, that maybe have air conditioning.
A lot of sense. Yeah.
Play them at some places where some sites where it's not as hot.
Right. And say every game in Florida, every game farther north.
It's like spring,
Maine.
Everybody goes south. Yeah. This is fall before pre-fall. Everybody, you know, go north or west or something like that to try to play. But I mean, it does. It makes it much more difficult. And now there's so many bowl games, and they're so irrelevant. I mean,
I know they still sell.
Look,
but
if your team hasn't been to a bowl game in a long time, but I mean, I don't know that Auburn fans would be just wowed by playing in a bowl game at the end of this year. You know,
no.
I mean.
No, they'd be excited to break the streak, but they want to compete for championships.
That's right. So, I mean, have an opportunity there, their preseason. Play a lot of those kickoff-type games.
Yeah.
Make NIL. Players would be wanting to play in them because it's more money for them and something to show as well. So, but let's move it up, and that way you could end the season, and let's go ahead and get the playoffs started.
Right.
I mean, right now you already have problems. Look, Kirby Smart is absolutely right. I mean, what other sport does a champion have to wait nearly a month?
It's ridiculous.
Before they're in a playoff.
Ridiculous schedule as far as playoffs go. I hate it. So needs to change.
I mean, I can see after conference championship weekend a week, maybe.
Right.
You know, but you sure don't need a month.
No.
And that's why, and one of the reasons why, you know, Indiana's the only team in 2 years that's been able to win after a bye.
Yeah.
Because those byes are so long.
1 of 8. That's right.
Yep.
So we'll see how it goes this year.
334-321-1390. That's the Drive hotline sponsored by Skybar. Man, a couple of sad notes today. You see where Jodine Jr. passed?
Yes, yes. A great man.
Great. He absolutely was. I mean, his dad was one of the most entertaining guys. But, I mean, Joe was a brilliant guy.
He was.
And just an excellent person. No question about that. And yes, so sad to hear that Jodine Jr. passed.
Yeah, that was tough. Yep.
And the other one, how about the cheerleader from Heroes, Hayden Panettiere?
Yeah, that's another one. Yeah, 36.
She was just 36.
Yep.
All right, I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll go ahead and get to our bottom of the hour break here a little early. Love for you to join in. Anything on your mind sports-wise? We'll take a look at the preseason, the AP preseason top 25. A lot of SEC teams, 5 in the top 10, 9 in the top 25. We'll talk about that and more as we're just a quarter of the way in here on the Monday edition of The Drive. We'll be right back.
of The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into the Monday Drive. Bill, Brian Matthews here in the studio. Brandon at the controls. A little bit of a surprise. Auburn added a basketball player to the roster since the last time we spoke. Tigers, of course, gone to Greece, come back. And, you know, maybe having to play without six of their top eight or something for most of that second game over there in Greece, along with the fact that the NCAA is now going to have to, it appears, allow players that had not competed for more than four years to have that fifth year. Auburn goes out and adds another guard.
Yes, that's Colby King, I believe,
yes.
From Utah State. He just averaged 7.5 points, but really good three-point shooter and a guy who can come off the bench and be, you know, give your team 10, 15, you know, whatever you need, more minutes, you know, if it's one of those games where you got people in foul trouble or whatever. But
another experienced guy. He was at Tulane the year before. It seems like he's been
Butler. He was at Tulane for a couple of years, St. John's. So he's played at some really good programs. He has that experience. So just a terrific pickup. 6'1", 185. I think he can play the one and the two,
I believe. He's a combo type guard. You got George Kimball and Colby King now that are guys that can spell both Tahad and Kevin Overton.
Yeah, I think
whoever and Mantis or whoever's at the two.
Yep. So I just think it's a nice little addition. You looked at last year's team; they really lacked that depth, and they still managed to win the NIT championship, even with another player leaving or not being a part of it. So, I think it's a really wise move. And, you know, it'll help. You're bringing in a fifth-year guy with a ton of experience instead of having to bring in a walk-on. That's not trying to be mean to the walk-ons or anything, but it's just you're getting that level of player off your bench now.
Yeah, you bring in a proven commodity, guy who's competed, like you said. I mean, it's at some pretty good basketball schools.
Yep.
And it's basketball as well. I mean, look, we see a few football players trying. I mean, Indiana has added a couple of guys back from last year's team that didn't make it in the NFL camps. But it's just so much tougher for a football player with football preseason camp going on. And, and look, we're just a week and a half away from the first football games. It'd be much more difficult, I would think, for a football player, especially the way the NCAA rules read now. These fifth-year players have to have either graduated or been in the transfer portal.
Right.
And if not, all they can do is return to the school that they were at last year.
Mm-hmm.
And so that limits an awful lot of these players. Remember, we talked about the only possibility we could think of in football was Trayvon Mitchell, who was a defensive lineman at South Florida.
Yeah.
And I said the other day, he will be in Atlanta there for the opening game because he's going to Baylor.
Yeah, how about that? And, you know, just one more thing on Colby King. He's played 127 career college games.
Mm.
That is a ton of experience on that roster. And just good to have him in the locker room, have him part of practice. Just everything he brings is going to be a plus.
Yeah, so he'll have a couple of months to be able to, you know, try to learn the system and get acclimated and get to know his teammates.
Yeah,
that's
the preseason before you get into
it. Right.
Right. So, yeah, he'll have plenty of time.
Yeah, so that's, I think, a nice addition there. And, you know, Auburn had extra scholarships. It's good. I think last year, Auburn ended up sort of being short. I think they'd gone ahead and awarded scholarships to walk-ons, and then there was a possibility. They needed to find a player
They wanted to find a big.
Yeah.
And they couldn't because
they didn't have
a scholarship. Once they gave the scholarships to the walk-on, they couldn't get them back. And got into kind of a bind there. But, you know, it still worked out, I think, fairly good with the NIT championship. But obviously Auburn has higher goals than that.
Oh, yeah. And I know there's still some skeptics, Terry, out there that don't know what to expect. But I think playing, you know, especially the fact that they won it, but getting the NIT, winning the NIT was great for Stephen Pearl. I think he's a better coach now than he was before the postseason last year. I'm sure he's a better coach than he was last year, just having gone through it. And I think that I wonder if Tahad Pettiford and Kevin Overton would be back at Auburn had they not played and won the NIT.
That's a great question. And I think it says a lot about Stephen and his staff that they're both back here. And they both, you know, they both have goals to compete for championships. And I don't know how far this team is going to go. We'll see what happens, how they develop, you know. But I think this is going to be a really fun team to watch.
I think
they've got a bunch of really good shooters, good rebounders, shot blockers. It's going to be a different type team than we've seen in Auburn in quite a while.
Thomas Dowd is he's going to grab a lot of rebounds.
Yeah, was it 17 or 18?
18 he had. 18 in one game over there.
Yeah, that's going to be fun to watch. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, it is. But, of course, football's here first. And I got – all right, Doug asked me this question because, I was talking to him about Alex Golish and his reaction saying – and Gordon Stone was there as well. So Gordon said he hadn't had a chance to watch practice yet. He's been too busy. And, you know, Gordon, a former – defensive back for Coach Dye,
right.
and pretty prominent in the Letterman's Club, was really interested in what we'd seen. I said, well, we haven't seen an awful lot of 11-on-11 except for that one little quick bit that they rushed everybody away from the sidelines over there for a few days. But I mean, what we've seen in practice, Brian, to me, has just been a carryover of what we saw in the spring and what we've heard. I mean, it has been an energetic up-tempo, and they really seem to be getting after it. I mean, Gordon was wondering, you know, are they holding back on anything, being concerned about being physical? And it's like, no, not at all.
And, you know, that's going to get even more so because they've got to figure out the tackling, right? They've got to improve on that. So that means they're going to have more tackling, more physical.
I would think that practice this week is going to be pretty darn physical.
Yeah, I think Golish said they're going to have two practices that really focus on the tackling. That has to happen either over this past weekend, I don't know if it did, and this week, because next week they start game prep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, I mean, again, that's where I said, now we'll see. I mean, this is a time, you know, you can have somebody get hurt when there's no contact. So,
right.
I mean, but the difference in the approach, the physicality, and – I really think that the not just allowing but almost encouragement of Alex Golish to DJ Durkin to show everything, come after Byron Brown, come after the offense, try to confuse them, and the fact that they seem to be pleased with their reaction is that's so much more comforting to me than what we had a year ago. We're trying to build some confidence.
It was such a mess, and that's really got to make you feel so much better about Byron Brown, that he is going through this. He's having everything thrown at him, and he is getting better. And he seems
very pleased with where he is.
Yeah.
And you know, when we talk to him, it's like he appreciates what he's had to see and go through and learn, and he's responding quicker. And man, I can see again, there's just where players are ready to follow him.
And you know, you think about Baylor in that opening matchup, right? They've got a head coach and Dave Aranda, who's been a defensive guy his whole career, is known for coming up with different ways to, you know, confuse quarterbacks and get turnovers, mm-hmm. and get sacks and stuff. So he needs to be ready for whatever is coming at him.
Yeah. Well, when you get into the SEC, you're going to face an outstanding coordinator pretty much every week.
You are.
So I mean, they're going to be things thrown at you. It's crazy though that Baylor was so bad defensively a year ago.
It is. It's wild. Yeah. But I would expect, you know, when that something like that happens, they, you know, there's a reaction to it. So we'll see what we see.
Oh yeah.
Here in a few more weeks.
Oh yes. No question. Looking forward to that. So let's get your takes from what Alex Golish had to say, and what are some of the things that you and I know I saw Hoke had a couple of comments, and JG, I mean, just from folks that you might have been able to talk to or get info from how they felt about watching the scrimmage?
Well, I think the people that were there that weren't coaches or weren't, you know, currently Auburn coaches felt pretty good about it. You know, felt good about Byron Brown, the way he played. You know, I think tackling came up with them too. I think they felt good about the receivers. They made some plays. They caught some long passes. Byron had that, I think it was the opening play of the scrimmage.
Yeah, 60 or 70-yard
run. Yep, which was really big. And, you know, I can't wait to see. It's been a little while, I think, since Auburn's had a quarterback that could do that.
Oh, yeah.
So,
well, I mean, Bo was athletic. But,
yes,
I mean,
but
still.
70-yard runs.
Yeah, right.
And maybe somebody's going to call and remind me, hey, you remember this? But no, I don't remember that until you point it out. But it feels like it's been a while since Auburn's had a quarterback like that. And, you know, and I think they also mentioned the sloppiness that Coach Golis mentioned, the penalties, especially early on in the scrimmage. I think one of the false starts was a receiver, so it wasn't all the offensive line, which is going to get all the blame anyway.
Right.
But I think the areas that need to be addressed, the tackling, the penalties, the turnovers, you know, are all typical first scrimmage things. And I think some of the things that stood out, the defensive line, the edges, the pass rush. I know they had I know Al Scholar said he felt good about the red zone. And I know there was at least one
goal line stand.
Mm-hmm. I think it was the first down around the five.
And yeah, he said there was an explosive play, and they had first and goal at the five.
And stopped him four straight downs there, which is great to see. I mean, just absolutely great to see defensively, right?
Here's the thing. In scrimmages, everybody's not going to be happy, and the fans are always going to be concerned.
Right.
Because if the offense dominates, then you wonder, oh, crap, what's the matter with the defense? Are we going to be able to stop anybody? And as much as the offense has struggled the past few years, you can't help but think when you hear, well, the defense may have had the upper hand. Because what I heard, Brian, was that the defense may have been a little better.
Right.
But it
pretty close.
But it didn't sound like the defense dominated.
Right, which is what happens at a lot of first scrimmages.
Yes.
Football. It really does.
Well, because they've been practicing against what the offense is going to try.
Exactly. Exactly. And that just tells you a little bit about Byron Brown and this offense and them, you know, taking all the defensive hits they have over the last 2 weeks has prepared them a little bit better for that scrimmage. So that was good. I'm trying to think. I think the receiver, Keyshawn Singleton, I think had some big catches, including
plays.
A touchdown.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Omar Mabson was the number two running back, had some good plays. The running back from Baylor.
Rice from Washington.
This is probably his best day, I think, that the scrimmage-wise and practice-wise. You can see him sort of finally getting back into shape and finally getting into this offense a little bit better.
Didn't Hoke write about Jordan Crawford?
Yeah, he was one of the standouts, I think, defensively, which is one of those things. You go back to building depth on the defensive line. You feel great about the four starters, but now they're building that depth, which is so important to get through a 12-game season, especially in the SEC.
And I thought about something after hearing I don't remember who it was. It was commenting on Deshaun Spencer. It may have been.
I think Al Scholes kind of gave a.
Well, no, he did, but I mean, but one of the things about the tackling made me think, well, sometimes poor tackling can be because you might have some guys who are hard to tackle.
Yep.
And that's one of the things where one of the coaches described Deshaun Spencer as a, quote, hard tackle.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I would say out of Chaz Nimrod and Keyshawn Singleton and Deshaun Spencer, a back or two, Auburn may have some guys, and you hope they do, that aren't easy to tackle. Yeah. Yeah. And that can at times, you know, have your coaches going, you've got to tackle better than that. But there were a lot of people that had trouble tackling Byron Brown last year and Deshaun Spencer, when he was in high school, was really tough to tackle. So hopefully, you know, maybe part of that is credit to the offense and not just poor tackling by the defense.
And it was one-hand touch on the quarterback. So
right.
Byron Brown scored on a 7-yard touchdown.
Means there was a big
hole. Yeah. There's a lot of space there. And I guess defensively, Gavin Jenkins had an interception. I think we mentioned this already. Mm-hmm. And Shamar, I know, had an
interception. Sound like Tristan Tia threw a couple of picks. One of them, Alex Golish described just as he just threw one up for grabs.
Yeah, kind of lost his composure. Another one, I guess, was just a good play on the defense or what have you. But that's going to happen, too. And the thing we got to remember with Tristan Tia, he is a transfer.
He's a young guy.
Yep. Second-year guy learning this offense for the first time. So he's going to make mistakes as he develops, and the best way to do that is put him right in the fire.
Yeah, I mean, it is. I mean, it would be a much bigger concern if Byron Brown were in a new system or if whoever your starting quarterback was just coming in under Joel Gordon and Alex Golish.
Yeah.
Because this is – I mean, it was the second-fastest offense in the country a year ago as far as time between – when the ball's placed and when it's snapped. I mean, they hardly ever went over 15 seconds from the ball being placed and the next snap. So, I mean, you've got your quarterback's really got to be used to doing that and knowing what he's doing. And that's a big learning experience right now for Tristan Tia. I mean,
and that offensive line.
Lachlan Hewitt and Reese Brush, all those guys.
You think about how important Byron Brown is, how important Cole Best is, how important those receivers are. To being able to run an offense like they want to run it. That's why it was so important for them to get the dozen or so offensive players to transfer from USF right away. It just gives you a chance that first year to be much better than maybe people expect.
Oh, it's a huge leg up. I think that it's hard for some people to even realize how important that is when you're making such a big change to have so many players. There is not a position on offense that doesn't have somebody from South Florida in that position room.
Yep.
I mean, every single one, quarterback, running back, receiver, tight end, offensive line.
That's big. That's really big. And Echols, speaking of tight ends, has had a good camp. He missed the scrimmage.
That's been good for Arliss Boardingham, sounds like.
Yeah, that's the first time we've really heard him be brought up, right, without somebody asking about him. And so that's a good sign. Alex Golish has already said how much he loves the tight end room and how much he thinks their versatility is really big for them. You know, as far as being able to do some different things on offense, maybe they wouldn't normally be able to do so. And how much he loves Jake Johnson. He talked a lot about Jake, I think, after the scrimmage, if I'm not mistaken.
Well, if Jake's healthy, Jake is a quality SEC tight end. Yep. He's a guy that can stretch the field. He can catch it. He can block. He's a leader. He's very bright. I mean, obviously, dad, NFL player and coach and older brother, quarterback. So, I mean – yeah, he's been around football his whole life.
Yes.
And if he's healthy, yeah, I think he is a great addition. But Arliss, yeah, I mean, what a story he may be. I mean, he was so highly thought of at Florida.
He was.
He transfers to, was it Louisiana, I believe.
It was Bowling Green.
Oh, yeah, my bad. Yeah, goes to Bowling Green, can't stay healthy, and just almost disappeared.
Yep.
You know, he didn't have any numbers. You wondered what happened to him. And he struggled in the spring. You didn't hear much from him. But just over the last week, we've started to see him out there running, you know, getting an opportunity, as you mentioned, with Jonathan Echols being. And it doesn't look like Jonathan Echols was hurt really badly. And I believe Golish said that he would be back yesterday. He's just been, like, riding a bike.
Yeah.
But seeing Arliss get out there, and he's obviously taking advantage. So that gives him another experienced guy there at the tight end spot.
And with those guys being banged up, that's just given Xavier Newsom just more and more reps, right? And that's what he needs. He's a young guy, but he's got enormous upside potential. And he's only going to get better and better as he keeps getting those reps.
We'll get to our final break here of hour number one. Bill and Brian here on the Monday edition of The Drive, 334-321-1390. Come on in and join us.
Time to churn up some more yardage on The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back in to hour number one. Final couple of minutes of hour number one here of the Monday Drive. Bill and Brian Matthews from AuburnSports.com here in the studio with Brandon at the controls. And, we'd love to hear from you. I mean, we've had a chance. And, again, we want to let our appreciation be known by everybody in Auburn football and athletics for the opportunities that we've had. Once again, I mean, being able to get out – sure, we'd like to watch more, but there have been many, many times, Brian, when we haven't been able to see anywhere near as much as we have with Coach Golish.
Get out there tomorrow, which is great, and look
bright and early, man.
Yeah,
it's early for a retired guy. 8:45 is the viewing window tomorrow morning.
Yep, and we'll talk to a couple of assistants then.
Is it tight ends, defensive ends tomorrow? I think.
I think that's right. I know
Larry Scott and Coleman Huntsler.
Yes,
I think.
Yes, I think that's right. So that'll be great. I really want to write about the DNs.
Well, both those positions are really interesting. Yep. We just got through talking about Arliss Boardingham, but I mean the defensive ends. There's some really good looking guys there that we haven't seen that much of. They look great out there just working out.
Yeah, I mean, and it's really hard to know exactly how they line up. I feel really certain that Deshaun Womack and Jared Smith are going to be two starters.
Yeah, now, which is which? I think they could. It could just depend on which side which hash mark the ball's on.
Right.
Because I think both of them can get after the quarterback.
I think Chris Murray will probably be a top backup. Maybe he's number three right now.
Yeah, I would think he's your edge guy.
Right. But between Nate Johnson, J.J. Falk, Jaquez Wilkes, the freshman, Joe Phillips, I think is probably right in there in the top four, too. I should have mentioned him. But I don't know exactly how they line up there, so I'm really interested to see how that is. And interested to hear more about Joe Phillips and his continued progression from really not playing much his first 2 years.
And you wonder, I mean, we'll ask Coach Hutzler about this. I mean, how much we could see a guy like Darian Smith, who is a really good pass rusher, who's a lineman. I mean, could he slide out? Or would they be grabbing a linebacker and being able to pull him up there, because they've got some options of guys. You're not going to have four linebackers on the field at the same time, but you got four that can really get after you.
Yeah, you do. And got some safeties too. So
yeah, you're right.
I think they're talking about different ways to get some of those guys who are probably in your best 11 on the field together.
Mm-hmm. All right, we'll talk about that more in hour number two. Love for you to join in. Don't forget Brian's Monday Musings coming up at the bottom of the hour. But we're wide open, so come on in and join us here on the Monday Drive.
The following is an Auburn Network production. Live from Auburn, the sports capital of Alabama, this is The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron on ESPN 106.7. And online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome in to hour number two of the Monday Drive. Hope everybody's doing well. Had a good weekend. Able to try to stay cool. Glad my air conditioning is still working.
Yes.
It's gone out a couple of times in the last couple of weeks. Of course, this is the time that it would.
Right.
Man, when it's
working overtime,
upper 90s. Yeah, you're not kidding. And the humidity, I mean, it does. It beats on that AC unit, so... Hopefully yours is doing well.
So far,
we are cool and comfortable here in the studio on this Monday afternoon. Doesn't look like there's any chance of rain here today.
No. It may cool off, though, at the end of the week or next week.
God, I hope so.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, it's been getting a little bit hotter every day. It's been like 94, then 95, 96, I think 97 or 98 was the high today.
It's ridiculous.
We talked, I mean, there was a scrimmage on Friday. It was hot. Man, it was hot on Friday. They're off today because it's the first day of fall classes for Auburn. But Auburn will be back on the practice field tomorrow morning, and then they'll scrimmage again Wednesday morning.
Remember when we would go to class back in the day, and the first thing you do on day one was get your syllabus, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess they probably don't do that anymore, do they?
No, I'd do that, and then a lot of times I'd go buy my books.
Yeah, you got to go buy your books. Carry those things around in your backpack.
Anymore.
Yeah, back in the day, you actually carry, like, your backpack would weigh like a ton with all those books stuffed in it, right? And all the notebooks you had to have, one for
class. That's right, you had a notebook for each class.
Yep. Not anymore.
Nope. You're absolutely right about that. If you have to go to class.
Right.
I mean, now,
you know, I know. I ask people about classes. Online. They're like, you know, I'll take all my classes online. Yeah, I get that too. Yeah. Like, oh, okay. The one thing I'll say about that is you're missing a little bit of that college experience by doing that.
You are. I mean, it was cool at times. I mean, maybe not every day.
Right.
But, I mean, it was cool to be going into different buildings and you get to meet those people. It's different than just seeing their face and on a Zoom.
You never know who you might meet in the class.
That's right.
Or before or after class.
That's exactly
I mean, it could
right.
change the rest of your life at this age, right?
Yeah. Just
get out there, kids.
Please. Yeah. So good luck to everybody. hope everybody, you know, the first few days, a lot of times it's like finding your way around. And if you don't have to do it to class, then it's finding your way around driving.
Yeah. And that's one reason you want to take all your classes at home is driving.
Traffic is unbelievable.
Yeah, parking.
Has been for about a week, really. I mean, while rush was going on, I mean, traffic was a monster.
Yep.
But so we're here, hour number two of the Monday Drive. Bill and Brian got Brandon at the controls, and we talked a little bit about what we heard from the scrimmage this past week. I'm not nearly as concerned as some of the people who I think if you didn't get to see and hear Coach Golish following the scrimmage, you might be more concerned. Because some of the headlines, you know, Golish dismayed over sloppiness. Hey,
I think I wrote one of those headlines, but yes, but he said
Brian,
it.
That's why I said the dismayed.
Yes.
But I don't know that he seemed dismayed. He seemed
My headline was humbling and sloppy first scrimmage for Auburn.
That's right.
He used those two words.
He absolutely said that the player's going to have to humble themselves.
Yep. Yep.
So that they can take good, hard coaching.
So you know what's going on this week is good, hard coaching, right?
Oh, you know
and
that.
A lot of tackling.
Yes, yeah. But it's nowhere. Again, I mentioned I was on with Doug. Usually am every Monday, and he was really questioning how upset Alex Golish was, and I said, I swear I've seen him more upset over a lot of other things than this. It was just like, hey, it's not where it should be, but you know what? It's the first scrimmage,
right?
And they had 22 days from that scrimmage until the first game.
That's
so you got plenty of time if you feel like you've got the wherewithal. Now, one of the things that Doug asked me, Brian, is do I feel better about Auburn football this fall now than I did back media days? And I would say yes.
I'm a yes too on that. Definitely yes on that. Some of the areas that I was most concerned with, I'm not as concerned with anymore, which is big. Depth on the defensive line. I don't think the offensive line is going to be world class, but I think it's going to be solid.
I think it will be capable.
Right? And I know some people, Cole, whose opinion I trust, ranks Auburn's cornerback room as the least when he ranks the rooms on Auburn's team 1 to 11 or whatever it is.
They're probably the least experienced,
right? So, but I feel like some guys are stepping up there too, which is great.
Mm-hmm. So. Well, the other thing is it's a DJ Durkin defense, and we haven't had a chance to talk to DVD yet, have we?
No, he is on.
He's
Thursday or Friday.
Oh, okay.
Whenever the scrimmage is Wednesday, right?
Right.
So we either talk to him on Thursday or Friday, and that's when we get him. And that'll wrap up the assistant coach interviews. So
he and Coach Lewis, the linebackers. That'd be the last two that we get.
Yeah, that's Friday.
Yeah. Okay.
And then off the weekend again.
But I mean, with DJ Durkin in charge of the defense, you've got a really experienced secondary coach in Tim Banks, who has come in from Tennessee. He's been Tennessee's defensive coordinator the last few years. And with the eye that DJ Durkin has for spotting talent, I feel like we'll be okay.
Yeah, and
there
I think,
at corner, especially because of what you've got at safety that can help out.
Yeah. And I really, just watching the coaches out there, I've seen a lot of coaches come through Auburn in 25 plus years. I think DeMarcus Van Dyke, DVD, is a really good coach.
Mm-hmm.
And I know he's a very good recruiter. He already has that reputation. You've already seen that here at Auburn. But I think he's a heck of a coach, too. So I think this is one of the best staffs they've had. A big upgrade there, not to diss anybody that was on the former staff. And I think it was important to keep in Bontrell and DJ. Those guys are really, really talented. So, yes, I do. Having Durkin and his defense back and a lot of his players and you know, even a guy like Hutz is part of that tree with Durkin, you know, the mm-hmm. same sort of coaching
yeah,
tree.
Yeah, that's right.
Very similar guys who've worked with some of the same guys before.
Yeah, there are relationships with either Alex Golish or DJ Durkin yep. throughout.
Yep.
So yeah, I'm excited about this defense. I really am.
I think
this could be fun. I mean, I'm looking for, you know, some of the young guys. We've heard so much about Buddy Mathis here in the last week.
Yeah. Every time I see him out there, I think, man, that guy's a little bit undersized. And then
you stand next to him.
Yeah. And then you watch him out there moving around, and he can really move. And then you think back, this guy played as a true freshman at LSU and made some plays, and now he's got a year under his belt in offseason, mm-hmm. and you feel like he's going to be that guy that comes off the bench and can be an impact guy. He's got that quickness to get behind, you know, around guys and make those plays in the backfield that can really – you know, stop an offense.
And, I mean, just listen to Vontrell talk about him. I mean, the fact that, you know, when he got here in the spring, he didn't know the playbook, and sure, he was behind. And so he was behind the other sophomores, you know, Jordan, Malik, Darian, you know, there on the interior behind those guys. But, I mean, he has stepped up and is pushing.
Yes.
I mean, now, I'd be shocked if it's anybody but Cody Sigler and Dallas Walker out there at the start.
I think that's a solid. I think Dallas Walker's had a great camp.
Man, he is.
Looks good.
He looks different. I mean, we talked about a couple of the guys, Cole Skinner looking different. Dallas Walker really looks different. And Vontrell said, well, yeah, he's 30 pounds lighter. He's still 330.
Right.
But, I mean, he carries that, like, I mean, you know, so much better. Obviously, anybody that's lost 30 pounds will tell you, you're going to carry that a whole lot better. But he moves so well for a guy his size.
He does. And I think he's taken on a leadership role. And I think that's made him push himself harder and made himself a better player and a better person. So I just think this could be – we've seen this happen at Auburn here recently, guys coming back for a fifth year
or seventh year.
But
a second year in the system a lot of the times. It's like –
it's really taking a step forward.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the kids deserve a lot of credit for that, but I think the coaches – I think Vontrell's a great coach. And just their ability to connect with these kids and say, hey, you know, we think you have the potential to do this and play football even longer, but these are the steps you've got to take if you want to do that. And these kids –
are listening and doing it,
and I think we're going to see the results of that with Walker and some other guys this fall.
Let me ask you something else that I mentioned the other day, and I've talked to a couple of people, and they look at me like, "Are you serious?" It's like they talk about the lack of experience Alex Golish has in the SEC, and it's like, look, he was at Tennessee,
right?
And they had their best offenses.
They did.
when he was there, but when you're talking about what these coaches have said to him and how the players are responding, I think something that is maybe as impressive as the talent they've been able to bring in is the fit that they have found.
Yeah.
They have done a great job of evaluating kids, young men who are willing to buy in. I mean, a lot of times you can go out and you can pluck somebody who is right there at the top of everybody's list because of his tremendous athleticism, but if it's not a perfect fit and they have to adjust, sometimes it's difficult to get them to do that. And I really think that at least up to right now, this is as bought in a team as we've seen at Auburn in a long time.
Yeah.
In a long time.
I think Golish is a part of that. I think Andrew Warsaw and his whole staff of, talent evaluators and guys that work in that area of the team are so important for that because, you know, you do have to evaluate film. You do have to, you know, find guys who can play at this level.
Oh, talent absolutely matters. You can't do it just on want and they've got a great attitude. I mean, yeah, I do hear some people go, I only want kids who want to be at Auburn.
Yeah.
Well, you know, if you get them and they're the right kind and they're the right kind of person, then they can be great at Auburn because they'll understand and they'll want to be there.
Yeah, I think
everybody doesn't just start off. It's either I want to be here or I'm not going to work out.
You got to evaluate talent. You got to evaluate system fit. You got to evaluate how many years they have available. You got to evaluate do they fit into the culture?
Absolutely.
What's their attitude and how hard do they work? And then you have to evaluate how much are they going to cost on the open market. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot that goes into that. That's a whole lot that goes into
it
trying to figure out who you're going to target and how much you're willing to offer these kids.
It's so much more than was involved just a few years ago. Yeah. I mean, and now, yes, because you can't ignore the monetary part. But right. if you can get somebody before their value is super high – Auburn's going to pay them.
Yep.
I mean, but they'd rather pay somebody who has, they feel like has earned that that increase.
And you think about Warsaw and compare him to NFL GM. Well, in my opinion, Warsaw's job is harder because, first of all, he's evaluating a lot more players, right?
Oh, yes. I mean, he's evaluating thousands
right.
of players.
NFL GM is evaluating this set of people who are going mm-hmm. to the draft each year. Everybody knows who they are, 300 or whatever
yeah,
it is.
Yeah, in college, it's every player on every roster,
every
player
year.
From high school
right.
up.
And you know, those guys are going to the NFL. They've had at least 3 years in college football,
right.
so they're more mature. You know what you're getting.
You've got a lot more, lot more to compare.
A lot more film
them
on
with.
It. Right.
Right.
Here, we're working with guys coming to high school or 1 year out of college, maybe at a smaller school. So you've got to really do your research. Maybe you've got to find some practice film. Maybe you've got to find a way to, you know, get some information from his current school that doesn't want him to leave. But, you know, it's not easy what these guys do, and I think they've done a tremendous job in just a short time here.
No, that's what I was saying a while ago about the depth. I mean, I think it's remarkable yeah. when I look at every position, and this guy may have come. I mean, you know, you mentioned two guys on the defensive line. Walter Mathis came yep. from LSU. Where'd St. Ferrier come from?
He came from App State.
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly.
Okay. And didn't have huge numbers there, but he looks like he's a find.
Yep.
So, I mean, their ability to, it's not always just, look, Walter Mathis was a very highly touted recruit out of high school.
Yep. Saints pretty been, highly touted. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah. it was like a 4-star.
Yeah.
I mean, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
But, I mean, Saint was – who is he? And he's at App State.
Right, right, right. And then the other thing I didn't even mention is you got to think about your current roster of this year and next year and the next year, right? Look at the offensive line. They brought in 9 transfers. 4 of them have more than 1 year of eligibility
right.
left, plus 5 freshmen, plus three returning guys. Now you're talking about 12 guys who are scheduled
who can
to come
be
back
next
year.
Year.
They won't all be back because – people transfer
right,
out.
Right, because, I mean,
whatever,
some schools just have to, you know, look at it, and they want to have the best roster
yeah.
right now, and we'll worry about next year. Man, that's a tough way to do
yep.
it. I mean, but I understand why you would why you might have to do that,
yep.
because if you don't win, you may not be here next year, and it may be somebody else trying to evaluate it. But
yep.
they're trying to lay a foundation and have players that buy in and want to come back. And that's how you get more players that want to do that. And that's what's been very impressive.
And you could go out there to practice. I think it was Wednesday or Thursday last week, and see how hard they're getting on a freshman like Parker Pritchett to know they think that guy's a player, and
right.
they're going to push him to get the best out of him because they may need him to be a starter or a key contributor by next year. And there's other guys like Wilson Zaire, I think, fits that bill. I think the 3 returning guys, the 3 second-year guys, all 3 of them.
Jacoby Ward is pushing
yes,
right now.
For a spot.
Cale Ellis is the backup center, and
yep.
then Ty Buster is going to be when he's
right.
healthy.
Ty would have been a starter or 6th or 7th in,
right.
in the rotation had he stayed healthy. So they've got some – they're putting together I think it'll be a decent offensive line. I don't know it for sure yet. But they've also taken steps to try to make it even better in the future where they're not having to do this, you know, bring in 14 new players every year.
And we talked to Coach Hoodie the other day. I mean, he's a well, I would guess that pretty much every coach that coaches for Alex Golish is going to have some energy. But, I mean, he does.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I mean, that's just the way it is. But, I mean, he's a young – I would figure he's also a guy that's pretty relatable because it hasn't been that
yeah.
long since he was playing.
Well, when Auburn played
UCF
and lost and UCF claimed a national championship, he was a starting – was he the starting center
starting
guard? Starting tackle.
Starting tackle.
In that game. So,
yeah.
Yeah, that doesn't seem that long ago to me. I guess it's been a minute now, but still, that's pretty impressive. And you know, one of the things I like about him, and I think is a plus about this era of college football, is he's got 2 assistant offensive line coaches,
right?
that are out there
get
coaching.
After it, man. They get right. after those guys.
And there's no, hey, can we coach this guy up this way? Are we doing the right thing? No, they are involved in it. On top of it, they're coaching those guys just as much as he is. Mm-hmm. I love to see it. I think that's making that whole room better, having both those guys out there. Parker Bell, I think, is one of them.
Yeah, he's the one I've seen two or three times.
Yes, very. And Micah James is the other one. Both guys are really intense, really into it, really know their stuff. You can tell just watching them.
Yeah. So it's fun. Again, we'll have another opportunity tomorrow morning, and we'll let you know. And of course, B-Matt and the gang there at AuburnSports.com will have all kinds of things, video and,
video,
and notes.
Notes and little intel, what we see, who's going first in line, who's
We'll see if after the scrimmage maybe things change a little bit.
Right, and hopefully we'll get to see them lined up. And a lot of times it's just position drill, so you can't necessarily tell.
Right.
But sometimes they do some different things where you can't get a better idea.
Yeah, so looking forward to that in the morning. Yep. Need to get to our first break of hour number two. Again, don't forget Brian's Monday Musings. Mm-hmm. We'll get to them in just a little while. Love for you to join in, 334-321-1390, as we continue with the Monday Drive.
The Drive continues. The Drive with Bill Cameron on ESPN 106.7. And online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into the Monday Drive, Bill. And Brian Matthews here in the studio, Brandon at the controls. Let's get to the Drive hotline, sponsored by Skybar, and Tex is up first. Hey, Tex.
Hey, Brian. Hey, Bill. How y'all doing?
We're doing great. It's always good to hear from Tex.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. Hey, my topic is a little off football. Is that okay?
Oh, yeah.
Sure.
Okay, about Coach Berkman passing away last week.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Pretty tough. So just a quick Coach Berkman and Tex Morris story. In 1982, when I finished playing, in 83, I decided I wanted to be a coach. Got offered by Jack LeMabe at LSU to be a graduate assistant. And because Cindy and I were going to live in Baton Rouge, I was set. Berkman gets a job. Phone rings at my house. My mom goes, Tex, it's some guy named Skip. Sounds like a prank phone call. And I said, no, that's because he talks funny. Mm-hmm. And I said, no, Mama, that's Skip Berkman, my new boss. And she said, great. So I get on the phone. He goes, now, mind you, my three guys on my resume list were Paul Nix, which probably may have got me in trouble, Mike Martin, and the guy at Mississippi State, Polk.
Yeah, Ron Polk.
Yeah,
yeah. That's three. That's some big names there. Florida State, Mississippi State, and then your alma mater. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So, he says, "Man, I've heard great things about you. If you want to add me to your resume," I said, "Well, Coach, I start on Monday." He goes, "No, sorry, I'm bringing my own guys."
Oh God.
So I got fired by Skip Berkman.
Wow, that's tough.
That's my claim to fame.
Without ever working a day. That's tough.
I got paid that equal wage for not working a day. Didn't even offer.
Well, I mean, who knows? And just think, who knows? Maybe LSU would have been worth a crap if Tex had been an assistant there.
Won a few more national championships.
Maybe they'd have won six national championships instead of five under Skip.
Well, I would just tell you this. There wasn't any worries after they hired Skip because, it was well known back in those days that he was the guy that ran the baseball side. Frazier was the clown guy, but in his defense, Frazier's defense, Skip brought some of that with him to LSU. Some of the crazy stunts that they used to play, like the money grabs and all that at Miami. So,
he was a great promoter as well as a coach.
Oh, without question, and. A guy that would talk to anybody about baseball. So it was a shame to see him go.
Yeah.
Spent a little time with him when we moved down here and he had retired. Got to spend a little time with him. His daughter is mean as hell, but that's a whole other story. she ran the batting cage known as Skip Bergman's batting cage. And the only time you'd ever see him in there, if there was a kid in town that Skip wanted to look at.
Yeah.
But she was mean. Anyway, enough about that. God, looking forward to college football, especially the college football in Auburn. At least there's excitement. I hope we don't get built up too much, but I also hope that what we hear from the inside is that they play hard. As long as they play hard and don't give up and fight, then that's all you can ask for.
That'd be improvement. Yep.
No. And just win seven, baby. Just win seven. I never thought I'd say that.
We were talking about it a little while ago, Tex, off the air. I mean, September is critical. I mean, Auburn, you know, obviously they need to take care of business against Baylor and then beat Southern Miss. Florida is a huge, huge
both
game.
Teams, yep.
But, I mean, to have that at night at Jordan-Hare.
It's time to bring some of that magic back, right?
If so they can. Auburn needs a big win. And you know, Florida, who knows how good Florida is going to be this year. But, I mean, if Auburn can win that one, I think that'll go so far as boosting their confidence. And so give them a chance. If they come out of September, if they can come out of September 4-0, look, October is brutal.
Yeah,
but as long as they can navigate October and not just, not have a disastrous October, seven shouldn't be a ridiculously hard number to get to. Although, sure has been over the last few years, win wise.
Well, I think the last time we did that is when we had a 10 game schedule.
Yeah,
it's a long time ago.
Yeah.
Yep.
All right, guys. Hey, I appreciate the time. I'm sorry I broke in with it.
Oh no! That's great. I'm glad. I'm glad you did bring him up because I mean, there's no question one of the all timers in the SEC. And you know what? When I saw the first time I saw Skip, I thought, oh yeah, he looks like a Cajun. And it's like, but no,
he wasn't.
But he did, didn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah, he did, but he didn't talk like one.
You're right. That's what I mean. But then I heard him, and I went, no, that's not right.
Yeah. So. But he could coach baseball.
Oh, yes, he could.
All right, guys. Y'all take care.
All right, Tex. Appreciate the call. 334-321-1390. We'll go ahead and get to our bottom of the hour break because we'll have Brian's Monday Musings when
we're going
we come
back.
Back
more than 100 years, Bill, but I think
what?
You're still going to get it. Yep. I think you're still going to get it.
I'm not that old.
I know you're not.
Oh, okay.
I've got reason to say that. You'll see.
Okay. All right. Yeah, we'll find out when we come back.
This is Auburn baseball coach Butch Thompson, and you're listening to The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on Auburn Opelika Sports Leader, ESPN 106.7.
Welcome back into The Drive here on this Monday final half hour.
All right.
That was Butch bringing us back.
Yes.
Of course, it's Bill and Brian today. Any? I'm trying to think. I haven't heard anything. I don't guess there's been any baseball buzz or anything here recently, has there?
No, they got their nine transfers in. Everybody they wanted back is back, or expected back is back. So school starting. I don't know the exact start of fall ball, but it'll be around October 1st, somewhere in there.
Yeah, I was going to say, it won't be terribly long, though. So.
Yeah,
and they've got a
game against FSU,
Florida State.
Pensacola. Don't remember what the date of that
is.
That's
a neat stadium.
Yes. Oh, really? Yeah,
Pensacola one? The Wahoos play down there. It's It's right there on the water. It's
nice.
Really cool.
Okay.
Well, so, yeah.
Maybe I'll get to go down there. We'll see.
Yeah, I ought to. I mean, it's right there in downtown Pensacola. So, I mean, I'd encourage folks.
Go in there and get some good fish, man.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It's right there next to, let's say, you got Joe Patty's and the Fish House right pretty much walking distance.
Maybe dip my toes in the ocean. I'm always for that.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's great. We usually spend a few days down around Pensacola in the middle of the summer. And this time they were out of town. Get to go over there if you can. I mean,
what Major League Baseball team is it?
It's Double A. It's the golly. Now I should know that. I don't know. Brandon's going to check it out. Wow.
Okay.
All right. He will let us know.
We're going to get the scoop.
We'll go ahead and go into Monday Music. I should know that. I usually know most everybody's minor league.
Might have to do some scouting next time down there. It's free drafts.
I was thinking, okay, my first impression was the Marlins, but I thought, no, that can't be. I mean, but that makes sense.
Yeah.
Have them right there in the state of Florida.
I think a lot of Major League Baseball teams are trying to get their minor league teams closer together, mm-hmm. or even make less of them, I guess.
Well, there are fewer. I mean, of course, we'll see what happens. I mean, there's most likely going to be
They've got to go through the process first.
We're going to have a work stoppage next year because Major League Baseball wants to reduce the draft, cut out high school players, have an international draft. Major League Players Association doesn't want any of that. So we probably won't have Major League. Maybe we'll have minor league baseball at the start of next year. That's something that in college baseball may be all we have early on next year.
Hey, I'll be all college baseball, so I can't wait. I'm already excited for that.
Well, there's no reason not to be excited about Auburn.
Yep.
Auburn baseball next year.
Some great players coming back, and I think they got even with the three guys that win the draft, they still got some really talented players coming in and some other ones coming back. And you're going to see some guys from last year take a step forward that maybe weren't big parts of the
team. Well, and you're wondering, with the change now with Gabe sort of moving into admin, you're wondering if you might see a couple of guys. Bub is a guy that I think has such potential to be a big time power hitter. And Ethan Bingaman was so impressive as a true freshman. I mean, guys like that, I think, have a chance to take
Ethan
a big.
Bingaman could take it. Mason McCrane could take it.
Oh, you're right
up.
About that. Mason's got tremendous power.
Brandon McCrane is a lot better hitter than he showed, I think. And
although
he could drive the
gap. Well, over 300.
He did, but
he didn't drive the ball as well as
I think he can drive those gaps. And I think we'll see that maturity as he gets a little bit older and has more time to work on those things. So, yeah, I'm excited to see fall ball and get that baseball team rolling here soon.
Oh, yeah. No kidding. All right. We pushed it back a little bit, but it's Monday. And that means Brian has his musings, both athletics and musically. What did you talk about athletics? I would imagine football.
Yeah, I did, and I talked a little bit about the attention to detail that the staff continues to show. And some of the things I pointed out that are just kind of new to me, having a complete walkthrough during your first scrimmage. I'm talking about, coaches in the box, the pregame warm-ups, mm-hmm. TV timeouts.
Yeah, a lot of times first scrimmage, they just get out there and scrimmage.
A lot of times we don't see that till the third scrimmage, sometimes the second. But throughout my career, I don't remember any coach here. And maybe I missed it, but I just don't recall any coach doing that in the first scrimmage. So, again, that's an attention to detail. Another thing we've already talked about today is having a game week, right?
Right.
Like you're having a
they're going to have a pre-game week,
simulate
the week
game
before
week,
game week, yes.
And then have game week again. Attention to detail, right? Getting these players prepared for what it's going to be like the rest of the season with an extra game week in there. So I like it, and that's the first time I've heard about it. If other coaches have done it here, I was not aware of it.
Well, that's something else. I mean, it just goes with
things.
I told Doug today. I said, every time you hear or see something from Alex Golish, it's like, well, that makes sense.
Yeah, that's a good
idea.
And
other times you go, why hadn't I done that before?
right. So it just kind of builds on itself, right? And I think when you do those things, all these things you can, I wrote about last week, the fine margins, mm-hmm. and doing all those things can maybe make the difference between a win here or there.
And that's what Auburn needs. And we've gotten sick over the last couple of years of talking about being close.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, when you're close,
really got sick about that, didn't we?
But the thing is, when you're close, it's like, well, do something,
right.
Do something a little different to try to make that difference.
Well, this is how you make a difference.
I believe it.
In those games, and these things keep you from going 1-9 in one score games, right?
Mm-hmm.
These little things you do right. So we'll see. You know, it's year one. 60 newcomers. You know, it's not all going to be perfect.
No.
But I like everything I'm seeing.
I think they have the whatever, the wherewithal to be able to win some close games.
This is the most confident I've felt about Auburn's football program. I'm not talking about just the season, but football program in a long, long time.
I agree. I absolutely agree with that.
So I'm excited to see where this goes. So musical journey.
Okay. You said over a century ago?
Yes, but I'm confident. I'm very confident. And you, and I'm confident into the listeners. A lot of them are going to get this.
Okay.
We're going back 109 years. Okay, to 1917.
1917? We got anything to do with World War I?
No.
Okay.
I don't think so. To the first recording of a jazz standard that has more than 100 different versions today and is still played during sporting events, including at two SEC schools.
Oh, okay. I think I've got a pretty good idea. One of them's the slow version that you hear in Baton Rouge.
Yes.
Bum, 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 dum. Man, you hear Tiger Rag.
Yes. I told you to get it.
Tiger.
I also caught Hold the Tiger, but Tiger Rag is the official. Yeah. And, of course, Auburn played here, and Clemson plays it. Mm-hmm. Clemson calls it, song that shakes the South End. That's what they would say. Huh. Is that their actual fight song?
Oh, I didn't realize LSU, Tiger Rag was their fight song.
Yeah, LSU and Auburn play it as part of their tradition. Yeah. Whereas Clemson has it as a fight song.
Other schools come up with their own fight song. Clemson just had to go use somebody else's.
Here's something that, as a person who went to school 40-plus years ago, and I've never known about this song, okay, never. I've been associated with Auburn for a long time, right? I never knew that. I knew they played it before your basketball game, but I did not know that they timed it so the song would end the buzzer.
Notice. Oh, come on, Brian.
It just never clicked with me.
Oh, I mean, I always notice that because it bothers me when they're off. You know, it's like.
I wonder how many people out there knew this, like automatically, like I'm a big dummy, or like, are you serious? I should have known that.
Da, 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 right? Da, and then they hold it. Oh. Now, the problem is they need to change it to the key so it's the same, so it's the same note as the horn.
So,
or at least harmonize with a horn.
So I guess I don't have the wherewithal to notice that on my own, but I'm glad it's been pointed out to me.
Well, Brian's usually he's working.
That's true. That's my excuse.
He's making sure he's got the lineups and things like that. Yeah. At basketball games, I mean, I go to watch and be able to talk about them, but I'm usually there with the family and everything. So we're just standing there and getting ready for the opening tip and everything. But yeah, I've always noticed that. I thought it was cool. Yeah. I mean, when they really get it and it's right, it's really neat because they have to know exactly how long. You have to know one, two, three. You know how fast to time it, and then know exactly when to start it, and give yourself time so you can take that split second, but then have that last stinger be when the horn plays.
Well, from now on, every time before a game, I'm going to be watching to see how close it is. Right, I'm going to be.
Oh yeah,
yeah. So
that'll
be
cool.
Good. Yeah. So I learned a lot of stuff just. Not a lot of history to it I could find, you know, but
who did the
original Dixieland Jazz Band recorded it.
The original Dixieland Jazz Band? Okay.
Yes, and they got credit for it, right? They got to be known as the authors of it, you know, copyright for it. However, as with a lot of things, the truth of the matter is it had been being played for, you know, decades before that, around the turn of the century,
that
by many
sense.
Musicians
yeah,
in
makes,
New
makes
Orleans.
Mm-hmm.
There was one. His name was Jelly Roll Morton.
Oh, Jelly Roll Morton is a Hall of Famer.
He said that he came up with it from a French quadrille around 1903 or so.
Hmm.
So I think it was a tune or part of a tune, you know, maybe not the whole thing put together, that had been played, you know, in clubs around New Orleans for quite a while before the original Dixieland Jazz Band got a hold of it and made a recording and made it there, so to speak, or stole it in other ways to say it, too. You could.
Sure.
But, and it's, you know, it's a nice little tune, really catchy.
Oh, absolutely. Is. Yeah, a lot of people just know it as Hold That Tiger, but yeah, Tiger Rag is, we used to play it in the high school band.
I guess the other thing that's interesting, the Mills Brothers back in 1931, they recorded it with lyrics. They added lyrics to it. And that recording, that record, was the number one song that year, sold over a million records. So it's had some success back in the day, too, right?
Yeah.
And it was put into the National Recording Registry of the Library of Congress about 20 years ago.
That's cool. Brian's, you never know. Yep. I mean, Brian has gone back centuries. He's, you know, he's gone recent. Mm-hmm. You just never know. And so what was this when the 1917 recording or something?
Yeah, this is when it was first recorded.
Oh, okay.
First recorded in this day in 1917.
Yep. Okay.
But this is great to go back and find something Auburn related to.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No kidding. 334-321-1390. That's the Drive hotline sponsored by Skybar. And Uncle Ollie is on the line. What's up, Uncle Ollie?
Hey, guys. Always enjoy talking to you.
Good to hear from you, Uncle Ollie.
Yeah. So, first of all, I want to say I always enjoy Texas Call. He is just, I don't know, there's something about him. He's just very knowledgeable, and I just always enjoy listening to him. That's going to give him my
He's one of the best, no doubt.
Yeah. So, the other thing was I missed the last 30 minutes or so you may have mentioned it, but I know you talked about people that passed away. But Tommy John passed away.
Yeah, Tommy John, and who should be in the – I wonder, I had some people say he should be in the Hall of Fame. Frank Job should be in the Hall of Fame, whether or not Tommy should be. Frank Job's the guy that performed the surgery that became known as Tommy John surgery.
Kidding.
I mean, where would pitchers be without that experimental surgery that they tried years and years ago?
Yes, and it was – I was listening to a podcast today, and they were talking about that, and it was amazing how it all worked out where, you know, Tommy John was having – his elbow hurt so bad he couldn't even lift a cup to drink water.
Yeah.
And so he went to the Dodgers and just pleaded with them because they kept giving him cortisone shots. And they pleaded with him, look, I'll do anything if you can just fix my elbow so I can pitch again. And so Job tells him when he was with the Dodgers, and I guess Job was the Dodgers.
He was their team surgeon or whatever.
Right. And so he tells him, look, I've been doing this surgery on polio kids where I, you know, attach a tendon. I can't promise it'll work. Probably 1 in 100 chance that you'll pitch again, but I'll try it if you want to. And he said, I'll do it. And he ended up doing it, and he pitched more after the surgery than he pitched before the surgery.
Yeah, I mean, he was a veteran when that happened. I'm looking back at his career, and he came up in 1963. And then he had that surgery in 1975. Yeah, 1975. So he pitched 12 years in the majors, but then he came back and pitched 14 years after that surgery. Had his and he won 20 games three times. All of those came after that surgery.
Incredible.
Yeah, and that's just amazing. You know that I don't know. It's just crazy that you know, Job would tell him, well, I don't know if it'll work. I've been doing this surgery on these kids with polio, but I'll try it if you want to do it. He says, I'm willing to try anything.
Well, he knew he wouldn't pitch again if he didn't have it.
Right.
That's right. Anyway, I always enjoy talking to you guys. I'll talk to you again soon, I'm sure.
Yeah, great hearing from you, Uncle Ollie. Yeah, I'm glad he brought that up. I was thinking about it yesterday when I saw the news and thought, yeah, we definitely got to talk about that, and then got carried into other things. But, you know, Tommy very well could be a Hall of Famer. I mean, my goodness, he won 288 games, pitched 26 years in the majors.
Just that alone, but also what he overcome at that time, right?
And his career earned run average, career ERA was 334.
Wow.
I mean, I would say, he ought to be in the Hall of Fame. But definitely Frank Job, the surgeon who perfected that surgery, which is now known as Tommy John surgery. All right, we need to get to our final break of the afternoon. Stick with us as we wind things down here on the Monday Drive.
You're live on The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email us at thedrive@ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into the Monday Drive. Final few minutes here on this Monday. Bill and Brian Matthews from AuburnSports.com. Something I was going to get into a little while ago, but we never did. The preseason top 25 out, the AP top 25.
Yeah.
Ohio State with 40 of the 60 first place
no
votes.
No surprise.
Oregon gets 14.
No surprise. Two Big Ten teams.
And then Notre Dame gets the other six.
Yeah. Again, not a surprise there, I don't think. I think a lot of people are expecting those three teams to be right up there. Georgia's third.
Yeah, Georgia's third without a first-place vote, though.
Yep, and Texas fifth. So that's a pretty strong top five. Indiana, defending champ, is sixth.
And then, yeah, and then there's Miami. But then it's a run of SEC teams.
Yeah.
Texas A&M, 8. Ole Miss, 9. Oklahoma, 10. LSU, 11.
Yeah.
Before Texas Tech, 12. And then Alabama, 13. So 7 of the top 13 teams from the SEC. Other SEC schools that were on the list. Tennessee comes in at number 20 and Missouri at 25. So 9 SEC teams in the top 25. Florida got the second most votes outside the top 25. And then South Carolina and Vandy also received more votes than Auburn's three. Auburn got three votes.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, Auburn needs to be better than that, right?
They do. And look, I'm not, again, it's sort of like the preseason picks down in Tampa.
Yeah.
I'm not terribly disappointed. I'm not upset about it. I understand.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Look, people all across the country are going, what's Auburn been for the past few years? They've been under 500.
So close, Bill. So close.
Yeah. But not, yes.
So if you go down the list, though, Georgia, number 3, Auburn plays at Georgia.
So far. What at the next? So close.
Yeah.
And so far. That's sort of what it's been.
Number 5, Texas. Auburn doesn't play them. Number 8, does Auburn play at Texas A&M this year? I don't think so.
No.
No. So they miss number 8, A&M. They play at number 9, Ole Miss.
They
skip number 10,
Oklahoma.
They don't
play Oklahoma. They've got LSU at home.
LSU.
Of course,
Alabama
on the road. Go to Tennessee.
To Tennessee, which is 20th.
And don't play Missouri.
Yes.
Reasonable. It could be worse.
Yes.
Auburn has had much worse schedules in the SEC. But look, they have an opportunity. Again, I mean, we were talking about how important the Florida game. You beat Baylor and Southern Miss, and then you beat Florida. If Auburn beats Florida to go 3-0, they'll be ranked when Vandy comes to town. And that gives them an opportunity. I mean, that's what you're looking for. Again, October is very, very
tough.
Difficult with road trips to Athens, Knoxville,
and Oxford. Yep.
But again, I look at who those teams are playing the week before Auburn plays them, and it's not the worst thing in the world. You know, Tennessee has Texas. The week before Auburn comes
in. At Texas, I believe.
No, I think Tennessee's got Texas at home.
Oh, is it? Okay.
I think Georgia is at Texas.
Okay, that's what it is. Okay,
there you go. It's either Georgia or Ole Miss is at Texas.
No, it's Georgia because I remember writing about that when I did that preview.
And then Ole Miss. Who's Ole Miss? Ole Miss.
One of those teams has Alabama the week before, I think.
Ole Miss is at Texas the week before Auburn comes in.
Okay.
Georgia's at Bama.
Oh, that's the one that has
the week before. So Georgia's at Alabama the week before
that's
Auburn goes
game.
In.
Yep.
And Auburn's also got an open date.
Yep.
So I mean, it could be worse.
Still probably going to lose, but still.
But still, if you can come out of October 6-2,
it'd be a miracle in my opinion. But it'd be a great.
I don't know that it'd be a miracle if you come out of September 4-0. I think you can come out of September
6-2. Well, 4-0 is not as easy as it looks.
You're right.
That would be big.
You're right. Yeah. But you get those games. At home.
That's right.
Which hasn't been that favorable. Hey, Brian, before we're out of time, let everybody know how they can keep up with everything you guys are doing.
We'll be at practice tomorrow. Blowout coverage of that. We'll continue recruiting everything. Still run a special 75% off for a year deal there. It's a great deal. Check us out.
No kidding.
And follow me on Twitter /X at BMattAU.
All right. Back tomorrow. We'll talk about what we saw and heard from the practice tomorrow. That's going to do it for the Monday Drive. Have a good one, everybody. We are out of here.